Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, U-N-I-F-Y-D, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE system.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
What up, listener? We wanted to take a second to thank you for listening to this Blue Wire podcast. Be sure to show your support to this pod by subscribing and dropping a 5-star review on iTunes, a follow on Spotify, or the appropriate dApp for any other platform you might be listening on. And if you're enjoying this show, chances are you'll like one of our 75 other sports podcasts. Find more shows you'll love at BlueWirePods.com. Thanks again for listening, and now back to your regularly scheduled podcast.
Thank you so much for listening to the RotoViz College Football Podcast. Before we jump in to all of the lovely content, I wanted to let you know that between the 5-minute and 15-minute mark, Matt's audio gets a little bit funky, but it does clear up and everything is good to go. So don't let it bug you. Don't freak out when his voice gets super deep and weird. Just keep listening. Enjoy all the content. And without any further ado, let's get into it. Welcome to the RotoViz College Football Show. I'm your host, Stéphane Lacoux. Joining me, as always, is Matt Wispay. This podcast is being brought to you by betonline.ag. And if you go there today, use the code BLUEWIRE, you will receive 50% off your initial deposit. We will talk to you more about that in a minute. But before we jump in, Matt, it has been a while. How are you?
I am wonderful. How are you doing?
Doing well, man. Doing well. I had a fun weekend watching the Super Bowl. We had a bunch of people over at the house, and I thought, you know, let's have some fun. Let's put the, you know, the betting squares up on the wall and get people to sign up. So we had a we had all the squares lined up, ready to go, and game started. And my son, who is 6, won the first quarter. I won the second and third quarter, and my wife won the fourth quarter. So needless to say, people were crying foul.
Hey, I mean, cross the finish line, the whole family's happy. You can't be any happier at the end of it.
Well, yeah, we were like, yeah, you guys don't have to give us any money. We feel terrible about this. It kind of went from, oh, this is fun, to, huh, this is awkward. but yeah, what did you think of the game? Did you have fun watching it, or was it? I mean, of course you did. It was a good game.
I was pretty happy with the result because, I mean, I think we all kind of are aware that the best time for a pro team to win a Super Bowl is when they have these players on rookie contracts, and I mean, They got it done at their while they still had Mahomes under contract, so I'm happy.
Yep, and they have a running back they're not paying millions and millions of dollars to, which always seems to help out as well.
Yeah, I mean, definitely can't be upset with that.
Yeah, yeah, it was fun. I was pretty pleased with the result. As a Seahawks fan, it was impossible for me to root for the 49ers. And, you know, the team that passes the most in the NFL winning is always a good thing. But we've got college football to talk about. And, yeah, we're just kind of doing our wrap up for the season here. And I guess it's important for us to quickly mention how we did on the bowl games. I don't want to get into it for very long for obvious reasons. I went 2-5. I had a miserable year picking against the spread. You, however, did not. You were, again, over 500 in your picks for the bowls, went nice 4-3, and had a great season overall. So congrats to you. I think you ended the season with the best record between the three of us.
I mean, I'll try and do even better next year. I felt like I started off really hot and then tanked towards the end of the year once anyone made mention of the fact that I was doing well. So I'm blaming you.
Well, we'll make sure to not bring that up next year. As you crush, we'll just not let anyone know how good you're doing.
I appreciate that. I think that's what I need.
Yeah. So today is National Signing Day. Kind of fake a lackluster day, no? What's that?
It's fake National Signing Day. The real National Signing Day was in December.
Right. A little anticlimactic. I did write one thing down that I thought was pretty great. That's a 4-star running back, Drennan. He was kind of mulling over, trying to choose between USC and Kentucky. Ended up choosing Kentucky, and I just thought it was hilarious because USC, man, they just have a terrible recruiting class and can't do anything to change it. And it's kind of hilarious. I feel like me laughing about it is going to feel really terrible when they like upset everyone in the Pac-12 next year, end up beating Oregon or something like that, and I'll be like, dang it, I was crowing too early.
Yeah, I mean, Drennan was one of those guys, he kind of was toying around with his recruitment. I think I saw him tied to like 75% of schools in the country. So,
right.
USC was one of those late jump-ins, but I actually really like him. He was a player that I was after he had turned down Ohio State. So midsummer, he turned down Ohio State. After that happened, I was pretty much rooting for him to go to Kentucky because he's kind of the all-purpose back they need, and I'm actually really excited to see him play. And I think he could make an impact pretty quickly.
Yeah, that'll be interesting. Kentucky might not be too bad next year. I know they have a decent shot at not being, you know, the worst team in the SEC. So we'll see how that goes. I saw a really interesting tweet from our colleague Travis May that I wanted to talk to you about, and that was So 24 of the 30 committed 5-star recruits are going to just 7 schools. Those schools being Clemson, Bama, Georgia, LSU, the Ohio State, Oregon, and Texas A&M. And I just thought it was really interesting. Like even in a sport like college football, where there's so many schools to go to, so many different options, players coming out of high school from every state in the country, you know, like, unbelievable that so many of them are choosing these same schools. And yeah, just makes you wonder where things are headed. What do you think of that?
So, I mean, it's been kind of no secret to everyone who's been watching this recruiting cycle is that the rich are getting richer. There's been a very big gap between the top 6 programs in the country, and even you could probably say top 4 or 5, and everyone else, because it's been these top schools amassing talent at a rate that we really have never seen before. Like, I'm pretty sure that Georgia is they're very close to setting the 24/7 record for top recruiting class score. And it's not really a surprise to me when you hear that, because they're doing, like, the amount of talent they're getting is just unprecedented. And so it doesn't shock me to see a stat or see a tweet like that. I'm honestly surprised Clemson doesn't have more, because last summer, when they had gone on their run, it looked like they were going to have 38 5-stars, even if there were only 30.
Right. Yeah, they've got 5. But yeah, I mean, they have the most of anyone. Clemson's been just killing it. It's really quite incredible. Yeah, like you said, the rich keep getting richer. And man, I'm just happy that that Oregon finds themselves in there. I'm sure you feel the same way about Ohio State, both finishing with top 12 classes according to 24/7 Sports. So
hold up. Now I got to look at that, because Ohio State, they don't have. So that's based on the composite one. Ohio State, the reason I jumped and made a kind of a freak out for a second is because in the 24/7 ranking, so just their actual, like, their site, Ohio State actually has 4 5 stars.
Okay, yeah.
So the composite's shorting us one.
Interesting. Yeah. Anyway, I mean, a lot of this, it's hard to know exactly how a lot of this plays out, but the main premise is just, like you said, the rich keep getting richer. There really does seem to be the desire for the best talent to go to the best schools, and I don't know if, you know, if that's going to change anytime soon. Let's get into some of the news and notes, and then after that, we'll talk a little bit about some of the players that we were hoping would maybe go to the NFL for fantasy purposes that ended up deciding to stay in school for another year. And then after that, we'll get into some more Devy talk about some of our favorites for next year, as well as some of the rankings that we just posted over on RotoViz that you guys can all check out. And then we'll end the show with some bold predictions. So, so let's jump into some of the news and notes. We got the big news coming out of Michigan State yesterday. Mark D'Antonio resigns. Kind of a murky situation there. It's hard to know exactly what is going on. Interesting timing, day before signing day. Doesn't seem to have affected them much. But yeah, kind of a dark cloud continues to linger over Michigan State. I was watching, I like Michigan State basketball. I was watching them lose the other night to Penn State, and he was in the crowd and addressed the crowd at halftime. And it just feels weird.
Yeah, I mean, it was a weird kind of out of nowhere it happening, because they weren't, like, I sort of expected him to be gone after this year, but I expected it in December.
Yeah.
So this whole it pushing all the way through until February is probably putting them in hot water and actually putting them in a situation where they might have to have a lame duck head coach.
Right.
I know there's some names that are floating out there, like Luke Fickell and Pat Narduzzi are the two big name guys, but like they almost have to have a lame duck coach, because why would Luke Fickell leave the best group of five roster to go jump to a program where you aren't bringing in a good recruiting class, you're not bringing in, or you're not going to jump in and really transform 2021 and turn them in, I mean, that recruiting class, and you're very likely going to have a losing year with this Michigan State team as it's currently constructed. It was just a weird series of events. I've heard some people say they think that the program just kind of gave him a little like handshake, we'll see you on your way, and gave him that $4.3 million to leave the program. And I've seen others that have, I mean, our good friend Jordan very much believes that this was they were a little bit shocked by the allegations that came out, and this was kind of a quick get out of jail free.
It's rough too. Like Michigan State had been, I mean, they were like in the playoff not long ago, and now, yeah, they're just kind of in a spiral, and this is certainly not going to help. Like, they're not going to, like you said, likely be able to find a top quality coach that they'd want to this close to the season. And the recruiting already hasn't been what many people would have hoped, or yeah, even what you would have thought when they were on that trajectory they were on a few years ago. And yeah, I mean, I think they had like the, according to 24/7, like the 43rd ranked class after like NC State and Louisville. Like it's definitely not great. So it's a problem, and I don't see it getting better. It's unfortunate for Spartan fans, but it's you know, it's how it goes. It's crazy how quickly the turn can happen for some of these teams that seem to make a jump and then fall back down pretty quickly. It just shows you how, you know, the teams that can do it year in and year out, how rare that is. But I guess go back long enough and they weren't there either. You know, like when I was growing up, it was always like, you know, USC and Texas, and now they're kind of irrelevant. So it's interesting how the cycle continues to push teams down. All right, Matt, let's talk about some of the transfer news. We've got Jamie Newman heading over to Georgia. What do you think about that?
I'm happy it's Georgia and not Oregon. The heavy rumor was Oregon, and that's a selfish reason, because obviously Ohio State plays Oregon next year, so I didn't want that. I didn't want to face
him. Yeah, and let me interject real quick that Jamie Newman, I should have said this, former Wake Forest quarterback, so you know who we're talking about. Yes, but chooses Georgia instead of, yeah, Oregon, which bummed me out a little bit, but let's be honest.
Well, yeah, I think if you are a Jamie Newman fan, the positive takeaway from this is that they did bring in Todd Monken to take over their offense, so it should open up the passing game. He should force the ball downfield more than they did last year. And if you're a George Pickens fan, like we'll get into later, the offense should get a little pass heavier. And with Jamie Newman not wanting to run RPO, it should be a good situation for him to actually elevate his draft stock.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. The other quarterback on the move is Derek King, ends up in Miami. What do you think about that? Do you think the Hurricanes have a fighting chance now, or do you still think that they're going to be kind of underachieving?
I mean, they better. That's kind of the only thing I could say is if they don't have a strong year, I think Manny Diaz is right. gone. I think this was a very much a save himself type of move because if I'm being honest, I think Jaren Williams had a higher ceiling, and the moment they made this move, he was gone. So I did think that this was if you're looking for 1 year of becoming relevant and actually having a fighting chance to beat Florida State get to the conference championship, it's probably a solid move.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about him beginning of last year as just someone who was super exciting, someone who was really moving the needle over in Houston before he decided to sit out the rest of the year. And I'll be curious to see what he can do. Man, I like when Miami is relevant. I think it's a lot more fun for football. I hope this does it. I'm not sure it will, though. I agree with you that Diaz could be on his way out, though, if things don't turn around. I mean, it's been pretty disappointing since he got there. And they had that 1 year, but yeah, I think for the most part, people have been pretty pretty underwhelmed. Any other news and notes you want to get to before we move on? Anything else? Any other big stuff that you want to hit?
Real quick, Mike Leach to Mississippi State. I don't think he's going to be super successful just because Mississippi State is weird.
Yeah, we haven't talked in a long time.
He's not a great recruiter.
Because that was a while back.
He'll be fun to listen to.
Yeah, I saw that on there. I was like, I'm sure we've talked about Leach already, but I guess we haven't recorded in a while. But yeah, so you don't think he's gonna? You don't think he's gonna be able to hang in SEC land?
No, he'll get worked. He was a guy that couldn't beat Washington year over year, and came out and said, "I don't have the talent to beat Washington." He's gonna go to the SEC and see what real talent looks like. I do really like his the replacement there. The Washington State brought in Nick Rolovich, who was the head coach at Hawaii. If you were worried that Max Borgie wasn't going to get enough catches, he's still going to get a lot of catches.
Yeah, and you like Borgie. He's the running back.
Love Max Borgie.
Running back for the Cougs. We will talk about him for sure later as well in our Devy Ranks discussion talk. So, yeah, we'll definitely get into that. So you think this is a positive move or just a neutral move for Borgie?
Probably neutral.
Yeah,
I was a little bit excited that he might get to run the ball a little bit more when Leach was gone. But with that being said, he's shown a strength, he's shown a skill set, and even if he gets 2 to 3 more carries per game, and he's still getting this receiving work, his draft stock goes up.
That's good. Yeah, I'm excited to talk about him in a little bit. Yeah, before we move on to the guys who decided to stick around for another year, I just want to let you know about our new sponsor, Bet Online. Now, if you missed the opportunity to bet on the Super Bowl and you're kicking yourself because of it, do not fret, dear listener. Blue Wire is excited to be partnering with Bet Online to help you win big no matter what time of year. We've got a lot of really exciting things coming up like March Madness, the Masters, and Major League Opening Day is right around the corner. Bet Online has you covered for all your latest news, sports, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. It's never too early to bet on Super Bowl 2021. Go for it, guys. Let's get nuts. So head over to betonline.ag and use the promo code BLUEWIRE to receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. We've signed up. It's super easy. And if you're already making wagers, it's a fantastic way to support this podcast. So again, that's promo code BLUEWIRE, all one word, when you sign up at betonline.ag. I did a little bit of gandering for this weekend's Premier League games. I'm a bit of a soccer fan, if you will. And one of the lines that I really like that I'm going to put some money on is the Tottenham Hotspurs are just need to win by one. It's a half point line right there against Norwich City, who is not always great. Aston Villa. So go do that. I won't tell you how to bet. I'm just telling you how I'm going to bet. Do go over to betonline.ag. Check out some of the lines there. There's a lot of different places you can bet, but we love BetOnline because it is easy to use. super convenient. And of course, use that code BLUEWIRE and you will get a 50% on that first deposit. So let's move on here. Let's talk about some of the bummers of players who, for fantasy purposes, we were kind of hoping would declare for the draft, but they decided to stick it around. What was the big headliner for you? I'm curious who your number one disappointment was of the guys on the list here.
So my big disappointment in this class is obviously Travis Etienne. I wrote him up before his bowl game. He was my 101. I thought he was a player that was going to run in the 4.3s. I thought he was a guy that had explosive play potential with the potential for early draft capital. And then he decided to return to school because Dabo Swinney is mean.
A monster.
I don't know what he's doing, but yeah, his guys come back to school. Other one I was a little bit disappointed about was Chuba Hubbard. My issue with him is I just don't see his stock going up anymore. I know that you had put some concerns about his workload, but my big issue for him is just he's not going to become this Max Borgi pass catching type. He's not going to be this super duper explosive runner. So I just don't know how he's going to improve from a 2,000 yard year. So
yeah,
those would be my big two. Najee Harris was what it was. Devonta Smith, I actually think he probably benefits from it because if he'd gone out, he would have been compared to Ruggs and Judy, and I think he was clearly number three among that group. Yeah, who was your, I guess, your one that you were most disappointed to see come back?
Mine was Chuba, actually, just because we had been so, I mean, you kind of got the ball rolling with him a long time ago, like the first year that I was on the show. And so he's been someone that I've been super interested in following. So seeing him, I mean, I think it'll be fun for us next season to be able to talk about him. So from that perspective, yay, that's fun, woohoo. But from a dynasty perspective, I was pretty bummed about him. But Etienne as well. I was talking to you a couple months ago about like I've set myself up pretty well in one of my leagues to have some high picks, and I was excited to use them on guys like Etienne or Chuba Hubbard, and them not being there available for me selfishly is disappointing.
Yeah, I mean, I totally get it. It's this year's class went from being loaded to feeling like you probably only are super thrilled if you're in the top five, and right. If you're running back needy, you're really only happy if you're in the top three. I think I'm with you on that, and I don't know. It's funny that Jordan and I spent 2 years telling you that the 2020 class was going to be this greatness. Yeah. And I seemingly like every other year, it fell off, and it is disappointing. So you know what that means? We should
2021.
No, I mean, it's part of the reason why I like Devy, because you do get to the guys you like, you can kind of get them early. You don't have to wait around. And I mean, I think that's why I'm now trending more and more towards doing Devy leagues and even traditional dynasty leagues. And a big part of that for me is just I like being when I know a guy early is going to be awesome. I like to think I'm ahead of people around me. And
right.
We'll see if that pans out to be true. But
sure. Well, I was going to ask you, does this change? I mean, I know this happens a lot where we think people are going to declare and then they end up sticking around, and vice versa happens sometimes too. But will you kind of adjust your projections regarding what year they're going to declare after this season? Because to me, this some of these names really took me by surprise, especially Etienne took me. Yeah, I was stunned.
He's the one on the of this list. He's really the only one that is a true shock to me. Like I said, Chuba Hubbard was a disappointment because I just don't see his stock going up. Najee Harris has never been a bell cow, will never be a bell cow. And I think for on his end, he's thinking national championship. And I think that's probably the same way with Etienne. I think Etienne was probably very disappointed by that national championship result. And that's hard to project. Like, I mean, if we're being blunt, I'm not surprised Nico Collins is returning to school because he was fine. He was better than his teammates, but he was fine. Tylan Wallace is coming off a pretty serious injury. So I think he actually sees himself as a guy that could really improve his draft stock. So some of the, when you see those types of names, they make more sense. I don't know. To say, will I move my projections on, do I want to say a guy comes out as a junior. If I'm being honest, I want guys coming out as a junior. I don't want him staying 4 years if they're a receiver. I don't want him staying 4 years if they're a running back. And it's because I think that you have a much higher success rate if you come out of school early. So I think it was Curtis tweeted out it's like, I mean, it's almost like a 4-to-1 hit rate, like percentage of players that hit when they come out early compared to the players that stay 4 years, how they hit. So, I mean, for me, I'm not moving it, because if I'm high on a player and the situation is leading them potentially having high draft capital, I think that's where I still have to project them as seeing that opportunity themselves. My miss is, I mean, I thought Tyler Johnson was coming out last year. And truthfully, if you ask me now, I think Tyler Johnson he's way down my board now because of he didn't go down last year.
Yeah, I think it's really difficult to overstate just how important like the age when you enter the NFL, like how impactful that is. And that's one of the things that I'm worried about with DeVonta Smith. He's going to be a 22-and-a-half-year-old wide receiver when he enters the NFL. And like we've seen on RotoViz, like we've got all the studies there that you could want to look for. And there's a huge relationship between draft age and productivity. That doesn't mean he can't be productive, but it certainly scares me a little bit. Does that, specifically with DeVonta Smith, does that worry you at all, the fact that he's going to be almost 23 years old when he enters the NFL?
I mean, if he's a round one pick next year, if he's a top three wide receiver, no. If he falls to like sixth or seventh in the class, probably a little bit more. But I was lower on him to begin with. Like, we'll get into it here in a sec, but like I have Jalen Waddle over DeVonta Smith. And I'm the lowest, I think, in our four rankers on DeVonta Smith. And a big part of it for me is just, I always felt like he was the fourth guy in that room.
Yeah.
I think Jalen Waddle was clearly the guy that scared you with the ball in his hands the most. Jerry Jeudy was the best route runner. Ruggs was the guy that stretched the field. Smith is awesome. He does everything really well, but I think he was very clearly fourth in that room. So it's just, he's an interesting test case, because I think his draft capital next year is probably going to be the only determining factor for me, because I've given up on how I'm going to look at market share numbers for Alabama players. I've given up trying to compare them to their teammates. As we talked about, these rooms are getting more and more loaded than they've ever been before, and they were the prime example this year. So if he does come out, have a quality year, and then is a first-round pick, I'm not afraid of DeVonta Smith.
I think that's the right perspective. I think draft capital will be huge for him. That's a really, really good point. I'd love to hear, before we jump into our rankings for Devi, who are some of your just overall, some of your favorite guys, not necessarily your 1, 2, and 3 or anything like that, but who are some guys that you really are excited about for this upcoming year?
I mean, we can talk about the dude that I'm standing for right now, which is Chris Olave. I am easily the highest in our ranking group on Chris Olave. I think if we actually look closely, I'm probably going to be the highest person overall on him. And I have him, I think I have him 16th overall. Overall. He was the alpha in this year's room as a sophomore in this year's wide receiver room. He is very likely going to be the alpha wide receiver in next year's wide receiver room for Ohio State. And his numbers right now, he is trending better than Michael Thomas across the board. And I think he is only going to put together another productive year. If I'm just
so, I want to pipe in real quick, because I did my rankings before you did, and so I was looking at the other guys because I was like, man, why are they so low on Olave? And I was like, you know what? I want to make a statement. I'm going to put Olave in my top 20 wide receivers. Make a statement, and then like the next day you put yours up and you have him as a top 16 player, wide receiver 11. I was like, oh no, that's how you make a statement.
And as much as like, I think that they are in the wrong on this, and I've talked to Travis about this privately. I haven't talked to Curtis yet, and I'm sure I will, but I think he is in competition very closely for the best wide receiver in the Big Ten. And if you look at where I have players ranked, I have Rashad Bateman as the fourth overall player, and I have Rondale Moore as the second overall player. And I think that there is going to be legitimate debate at the end of the year of who is the best wide receiver in the Big Ten. And I think that it's going to be a three-man race between Olave, Bateman, and Moore. And I don't see much of a, like, I don't actually see a situation where Olave is getting less than 26% of the team yards and probably is still Field's number one threat to go down the field, even with the incoming talent they have.
I was going to say, even like, cause that wide receiver room is
loaded.
It's not thinning out. It's got a lot of competition. And I was going to ask you if this could be similar to what we have been seeing at Clemson and at especially Alabama, where you've got a lot of different contributors. Do you think that could lower the ceiling of not Olave's skill, but of his just production numbers wise?
Potentially. I think one of his big things for me is that he's over 17 yards per reception every play. So he's proving he is a capable field stretcher. He developed a very quick rapport with Fields. So it's clear that Fields went to him first, which is why if you looked at the big plays in the playoff semifinal, he was looking for Chris Olave in those spots. And the reason that on the make or break play that ended up costing him the game, his eyes were on Chris Olave. He wanted to throw the touchdown pass to Chris Olave. I think that is a very notable thing. And I think that he is likely the guy that's standing out. And I have to point this out. I love Garrett Wilson. I think Garrett Wilson is the most talented receiver that has stepped foot on Ohio State yet. But I think Chris Olave is going to be the more productive one next year. But at the same time, do I think his numbers are going to be as pretty as Rondale Moore's? No. Do I think they're going to be as pretty as Bateman? No. Do I think they're going to be as nice as Jamar Chase? Probably not. But the big reason on that I'm not worried about that is because I have taken a step back over the last couple of years and said, yes, there are these thresholds that I love. There are certain numbers that I am looking for. Like, I still want to see 29% for a career for receiving or market share of receiving yards. I still want to see you break out with a 0.30 dominator. But when you look at some of these rooms, like you look at Alabama, you look at Clemson, you look at Ohio State, and even LSU last year, it's no one's going to be dominant because you're not looking at this giant talent gap between them, because you do have four legitimate first round picks in the room. And I just think that it's a new wave, and it's going to actually cause a lot of analytics people to freak out, because it does take a little bit of nuance, because you're going to have to potentially see things with some context. You're going to have to say, yes, he only got 26% of the yards for his career, but he did it when he was surrounded by two other first round picks and his draft capital is a first round pick. It doesn't matter if his numbers are substantially lower than a guy playing with no other NFL talent.
I think I think people will give you a hard time having specifically Olave ranked high because of your allegiances to Ohio State. But I do think you make a good case for it. And I think, you know, if you would have ranked him, top five, I think people would be giving you a little bit more hell. But I think you make a good statement putting him where you do. Again, you have him at 16 overall, wide receiver 11. So, I mean, it's not like you're projecting him to be the best. You're just projecting him to be a lot better than everyone else in the industry. I don't know about everyone else, but at least the four of us. But I'm guessing probably higher than most people. But yeah, so I think that's a really good one. He was definitely someone that I wanted to talk to you about because I knew you'd have a good perspective on him. Who are a couple other guys that you're really excited to see what they can do?
So
yeah, from a Debbie perspective.
One of my other guys this year that I'm going to be all in on is CJ Johnson of Eastern Carolina. He broke out as he was on pace to break out. I think he ended up falling just short of the 0.30 dominator for East Carolina last year as a freshman. I love to see that. That is the type of thing you don't see very often, and particularly in a school like that where your air raid, anyone can step in. Most of the time, they're still not throwing it to freshmen for 30% of their plays, and he was their primary target, and I think that's a guy that is going to put up pretty ridiculous raw numbers over the course of his career, which will get him in a position where he could be similar to like Zay Jones, where he ends up getting second-round draft capital just getting that alone, if I'm going to be getting him for the equivalent of like a fourth or fifth round pick, that's the type of guy that I want.
And just so people know, because if they don't have your rankings right ahead, you have him as your wide receiver 22, your 46th player, I believe, overall. So it's not like you're talking about him as a top 20 guy, but someone that, you know, I don't think I even ranked him in our top 60. And yet someone that you feel, you know, again, higher on than maybe a lot of other people. And part of that, I think, too, is just you have divin. That's not a word.
Dove.
you have breached the waters of the smaller schools looking for, your articles that you're writing every week for RotoViz, you were diving into this, and I think you have a little bit more exposure than some of us on some of these guys. So I definitely, whenever I see you talk about some of these guys that I maybe wouldn't be as high on, I circle them and realize, okay, I need to go back and do a little bit more homework on these guys, because there's probably something to this.
I'm trying to look at yours really quick and seeing if there's anyone that you have low that I would bring up. But you're not low on him compared to normal people. We'll talk. Here's the other one. Kenneth Gainwell. So Kenneth Gainwell was a redshirt freshman for Memphis this year. And at the beginning of the year, I told everyone to buy Patrick Taylor. Patrick Taylor was the guy to own. He had 900 yards the previous year when he was sharing the workload with Daryl Henderson. Daryl Henderson walked out. He was going to be this great buy. He was going to put up ridiculous numbers. Well, Patrick Taylor got hurt in week two. He was available to come back from like week six forward. He lost the job. He just actively lost the job to Kenneth Gainwell, who had one of the more productive seasons among all running backs in the country. So he's a guy that is maybe someone that's a little undervalued right now. Maybe he's a third round pick in Devy drafts. Maybe he's even slipping to fourth round. But he's a guy that is probably worth that second round pick, because as we've seen, Memphis players have enough recognition that they can still get early draft capital. And at the same time, yeah, he, as a redshirt sophomore, made a significant impact. I don't think he broke out by our standard, but he made a big enough impact that he will be noticed. So he's a guy I really like that I think people will eventually raise up their ranks.
Can I ask you why you're so low on a guy? And this is not just because of my love for our good dear friend.
Journey Brown?
Damn it. Did you hear that? no ads for Xfinity here. I was pulling up stats, and of course an ad came on.
Happens.
Yeah. So hope you all enjoyed that. No, I wanted to talk a little bit about my boy who I started touting after his big game first pit, Journey Brown. He ended the year super strong, and I think that he could have some staying power. I don't rank him super high. He's my running back 20 overall. I've got him like just inside my top 40. But I don't think you ranked him at all. Do you just not believe in the player, or do you not think there's going to be a role for him? Are you down on Penn State in general? What's your thinking here?
My answer to that is sort of yes. I think he's a decent player. I think that we probably have oversold how good he was. I think he was a really good player. I think you could make a case that Noah Kane or Devin Ford are actually better than him. Or have looked better than him at times. Journey Brown was always sort of the consistent, won't really screw it up for you type of guy on that team. But he finished the year with 890 yards, averaged over 6 yards per carry with 12 touchdowns.
He averaged a very nice 6.9, yeah, like almost seven. I mean, it's impressive.
Okay. Well, six is my threshold. So he was over six.
Yeah.
So averaged about one reception per game. He's fine. I mean, I'm probably too low on him. Truthfully, he's probably the guy I should have in there instead of Justin Shorter, who I'm...
Yeah, I wanted to ask you about that, because you've been giving Shorter such hell.
I mean, the problem is he's my Doriel Green Beckham in the sense of he was the number one overall recruit or number one overall receiver in his class, and it's so hard. to pass up on him. I think he's fine. Honestly, the problem is I just think he lacks significant ceiling. And when I'm looking in players in that range, I'm really looking for more ceiling. And you can kind of, that's where I differ from a lot of the other rankers, is there are a lot of guys in our ranking group that are looking for, this is, we have this known asset they have produced. Yes. But the problem is that at 40, you're getting kind of mediocre production. And that's where, do I look for some of the upside that comes from the group of five? Do I look for some of the upside that comes from just athleticism and pedigree? So yeah, I probably am. I probably should have him in there instead of Justin Shorter at that spot. But truthfully, I think, I mean, he's sort of in that Muhammad Ibrahim range for me, in the fact of, yes, he's good. Yes, he can make an impact if he gets on a roster, but I don't think any NFL team's going to be sprinting to the board to pick him.
I think the reason, like just talking about upside, once Journey Brown got the ability to handle the majority of the work, or at least getting double digit carries on a regular basis, like the second half of the year, he had a touchdown and at least one touchdown in almost every one of those games. Like from November on, like he was getting 100 yards and a touchdown pretty much every game. And I mean, in the bowl game, he went for 202 yards and two touchdowns, you know? So I think the ceiling could be there if he is able to get the job, and he is only a sophomore. So I think we could see a nice jump. But yeah, your point is duly noted, and I can appreciate the fact that you're not super, super high on him. One of the other things that I wanted to chat with you about real quick here was just your approach to quarterbacks. I think in a super flex league, it would be a little bit different. Oh, so maybe just talk about both of those. Maybe talk, because our rankings were not super flex, obviously. So maybe talk about what you did for rankings outside of a super flex, and then maybe just give us a quick little deviation on how that would have been different with super flex.
So outside of a super flex league, so in just vanilla PPR leagues, it sort of even changes based on like the number of teams in your league. So I think if you get to like 16 teams in your league, a quarterback becomes even more valuable because, I mean, there are only so many of them. So you get that positional scarcity. But in a vanilla PPR, assuming like 12 teams, I'm going to push a lot of these guys down my ranks because I do think I can find decent production by just going for old guys in the NFL. And if I'm going to be taking them, I'm going to be looking for the upside. So I've had Trevor Lawrence basically right around my top like 15 players pretty much since his arrival on campus. Justin Fields is the other guy. I put them right in that same category because I think they're going to be 1-2 in the draft, whatever year they come out. And then beyond that, I'm basically looking pure upside. The only other guys that I rank in my top 60 are DJ Uiagalelei.
Well done. Well done.
I think I said it wrong, but whatever.
I'm going to lean into it. Closer than I would have been.
So DJ Uiagalelei, who is actually Trevor Lawrence's predator. He's the guy that will eventually take, he's the heir apparent in Clemson. And that's actually why they just had another quarterback transfer out. Spencer Rattler. He was the number one quarterback in his class. He is going to Oklahoma where his number should, or he's playing at Oklahoma where his number should be very strong. And then Jaden Daniels and Sam Howell, they both played as freshmen. They both had moments where they looked very good, but again, they're very unproven. What I'm mostly saying is that in my Devy picks, I'm probably not getting a lot of quarterbacks in non-super flex situations because I don't value them as high. And I think that I would rather stockpile my lotto tickets on running back, wide receiver, and really just those two. And then I'll take flyers late on younger quarterbacks and I'll stash them. So then my strategy in that spot would be use a third round pick. If I'm not seeing anybody I like in that range, use that third round pick to buy an older quarterback for a roster. And then in my last round pick, go find the freshman quarterback that I can stash.
That makes sense. Couple of things. One, just like speaking to how you kind of value the wide receiver and running back, you ranked in your top 60, you ranked more wide receivers and more running backs than I did, because I do have a few more tight ends and quarterbacks in there than you. So Well, what can I say, man? I'm a sucker for Brevin Jordan. So, yeah. But one of the other things I want to just chat about real quick was, we mentioned him earlier in the show. Why isn't Jamie Newman on your list at all? Is he just outside the top 60 for you? Is he not someone that you really see being able to transition into the NFL? What's your reasoning behind him not being on your list?
As of right now, and this could change, I don't see him as a pro. I mean, I think that he might be. So next year, we obviously know that the two top quarterbacks are going to be Fields and Lawrence, barring craziness. So those two guys being your top two quarterbacks in the draft, his best spot.
Tanner, you do know that Tanner Morgan is going to pull a Joe Burrow on us, right?
I don't
right?
care.
Heard it here first.
Don't care.
I'm just kidding.
So Trevor Lawrence and Justin Fields are going to be 1-2. So if Jamie Newman comes out this year, he's looking at QB3 in this, which probably puts him around 10th pick. Fine. Great. I think he's good. I think he could be an NFL player. He's another one of those guys Wake Forest doesn't – their system didn't really – lead to NFL success. Like, that style of play doesn't traditionally lead to NFL success. It's not to say that he can't. It's not to say that I won't push him up my ranks eventually. But if I'm looking at what I think has the potential for him to be someone I'm going to target, I don't think I would take him above guys like Jaden Daniels, guys like Sam Howell, guys like Spencer Rattler, who I just think have a pretty significantly higher ceiling. Any one of those three guys, Daniels, Howell, and Rattler, I think could be the number one pick in their respective draft. Whereas I don't think there's any path to that happening for Jamie Newman. So, like I said, I don't value them. I don't value the position as high, and maybe that's to my own detriment because I'll be scrambling to find a QB.
Okay, now talk to us about Superflex.
Now in Superflex, fuck all that. Number one pick.
It's a different game.
It is. And I think in that spot, I would probably rank 10 quarterbacks inside of my top 60. Number one and two are Lawrence and Fields. Truthfully, Elongalele is probably a top three round pick for me. I know that the guys over at Devi Watch will probably hear this. I'm probably going to target him with one of my early picks in our Devi League that we're in this year. And he's a guy that I think has super high ceiling, and it's another one. I'm shooting for ceiling. I'm shooting for guys that are going to be difference makers for me. So I don't want to get an Eli Manning that I'm sitting there going, cool, I can't start you ever, even though you're a starter. I'm looking for superstars, and I'm going to push those guys a little bit higher. The guys on your list that I didn't rank, that I probably should have in there, that I would, Jamie Newman would work his way into the top 60. Either Keaton Slovis or JT Daniels would make it into my top 60. I don't think I can have both. And then maybe.
I'm hedging there, I guess.
One of them is going to start, and whoever it is would probably be someone that I consider. Yeah. And then maybe Tanner Morgan's like number 60 overall for me. I think that's about where I'm looking at it, though, is I'm going to put those two guys high. But beyond that, it's probably Fields, Lawrence, 1-2, and then 20 is my next quarterback. My rankings are going to generally stay the same. I'm just going to push a couple of guys down like a spot.
I thought it was interesting, just kind of moving back to just our rankings in general. If you look at our first 16 picks, you have 11 wide receivers. I have 10 wide receivers. So you can see that we both value the wide receiver position pretty heavily in this type of format, and the reason is pretty clear. But I'd like for you to kind of lay that out for our listeners, why you kind of have a more wide receiver heavy approach earlier on in your rankings.
I mean, yes, I do value the wide receiver position a little bit more because they can have a higher longevity. Typically, right. Actually, for Devi, I tend to value running backs a little bit higher because they're a little easier to predict. Will they get to the NFL and be successful? But, and this is going to anger some people when I say this, I think outside of Etienne, Hubbard, Harris, a lot of these running backs suck. I have Master Teague ranked inside of my top 20 because I think that there's a strong chance that a guy that weighs over 215 pounds and will run a 4.4 will be drafted early. My problem. I don't think Master Teague is guaranteed to be the starter at Ohio State this year. I think he showed a lot of issues last year. Keontae Ingram, I have inside of my top 20 because he had flashes in his early production. They have 2 5-star young running backs on their roster that may cut into all of his production.
Right.
I think that my issue with the running back and the reason why they're actually pushed down more than I would be really prefer is because I think that there's a lot of question marks with this group. Trey Sermon, Kennedy Brooks are guys that we've talked about a lot. I have no faith in them. I actually spoke to a couple of people I respect and they have them both outside of their top 60. It's because there's so many people that have question marks about these guys. And it's just, I think that the guys that we were certain of, a lot of them did leave. And now that those guys left, now we're looking at the 3 that we're confident in and the 3 or 4 that need to do something else. So Borghi, we talked about him. We'll talk about him all season. I love him. I love the fact that he's going to end the year with 65 receptions or more. Can he get to 150 carries? Like, I'm a little bit concerned that the NFL isn't going to give a guy like that draft capital if he doesn't have 150 carry season. Kylin Hill.
That's what I was going to ask you about next.
I love Kylin Hill. I think Kylin Hill is great. You want to know the thing that scares me about Kylin Hill? So a guy just came in. His name's Mike Leach. He doesn't really like running the ball very much. And also, Kylin Hill just went back for his 4th year. What's happening? Yeah. And then the other few guys people are high on. Zamir White, we haven't really seen anything from him. Zach Charbonnet, he's a relic. He doesn't catch the ball.
I know you don't like him. I have not given up on him. I actually have him as my RB7, I believe.
Very capable run up the middle back, but I am afraid that the time of when his running back type will be successful is gone.
What about Jamar Jefferson? He was someone that you liked earlier on year as a college player, but we never really talked about your perspective on him as a pro.
I don't think he has a high draft capital ceiling. I think that he is his absolute best is back half of the 3rd round. When you're talking about a player like that, it's hard to put them in a situation. It's hard to put them in top 30 overall. And it's just because there's going to be other options during his year, and there's going to be guys that come up the year behind him that are more exciting. So I love Jamar Jefferson. I think he's going to have a very strong year, but I also think he's going to be in college for 4 years.
Yeah.
And that's really the only thing for him is in my initial ranks I did, he was behind Brooks and Sermon. I went back and said it to myself. I'm like, there's no chance in any league I'm in that I would take Brooks or Sermon before Jamar Jefferson. So I bumped him up. But that's about as high as I can put him.
Yeah. What about freshmen? Just sticking in Mississippi here. What about like we were talking about
Jaron Ealy?
Yeah, Jaron Ealy. We haven't talked about him. He's another guy that averaged almost 7 yards a carry this year as a freshman at Ole Miss. What do you think? What do you think about him? I mean, he's super young. Do you think he has the potential to do anything special, or is he just another one? I mean, you've got him as your RB14.
He was one of the top running backs in last year's class. 700 yards rushing as a freshman is really solid. Capable pass catcher, 20 receptions. And when you're splitting time that significantly, that's pretty impactful for me. Ely's a guy I like. He's probably actually one of the guys that I'm a little bit low on that I think I might want to push up. I probably wouldn't take Charbonnet or White over him. I probably wouldn't take him above Puka. But I think that's kind of where it is for him. Is he's another one that I have no confidence he's going to have the draft capital. And it's like I said, the reason I push running backs up is because I think they're easier to predict capital. And there are a few guys that I really like, but their draft capital is really difficult for me. So I pushed up guys that won't have high draft capital, but are more fun.
That works. And you had to get Garrett Wilson in your top 25 overall. So you had to push him up.
Is he 25th? Oh, no, he's 24.
He's 24. Yeah, you got him. You got him. You did it.
That was intentional.
Yeah, he's in my top 40. But I think he's special. I uh, I think it'll be interesting. Before we shut it down for the day, let's get into some bold predictions for the next year. I'd love to hear just who you think. Give me your if you were putting money down today on who you think is going to win the Heisman. What would you do as far as just who you think is going to win, and then give me a dark horse?
I mean, I think the obvious one, two are the two that we're going to say for our picks. So I'll say mine. Mine's Justin Fields. I think he's going to have a lot of rushing success. I think he's going to have another really good passing year. I think on a strong team that is a improving passing game, Justin Fields is going to be a Heisman finalist. So the fact that he isn't the favorite, I think Lawrence is still the favorite to win. The fact that he's not the favorite, that would be the guy who I put my pick down on.
And I've got Trevor Lawrence's mind. So yeah. Continue. Your dark horse.
My dark horse is a guy that is basically not listed anywhere, but I think there is a non-zero chance that Bryce Young comes into Alabama and wins that job before the season starts. If that happens, he is throwing to a ridiculous group of receivers. Probably a ridiculous tight end that I don't know. Is handing the ball off to a really strong running back, and he's a very mobile quarterback, and he's very accurate. If he is the starter, that is a guy that at the end of the year is going to put up ridiculous numbers, similar to the way I felt about Trevor Lawrence. So that's just, he's a name to keep an eye on over the summer. If all of a sudden we start seeing these reports that Bryce Young is the clear leader between him and Mac Jones, look and see if there is somebody out there that has him at 100+1. Just put down a little bit of money.
I wasn't even thinking of him when I was thinking about this. And when I saw you put it down, I was like, oh, that's a good one. Because yeah, you're right. If he wins that job, I mean, he's going to have weapons to throw to. I mean, we look at like Joe Burrow. We talk about him a lot, but I mean, the weapons he had just made it so unfair. So Bryce Young, yeah, you just have to hope that that Mac doesn't take that job. My dark horse was Kyle Trask, quarterback for Florida. I think that offense could, if they try to build it around him and let him play his style of because he is a different quarterback than what they were building for. But he took over halfway through the year. I don't remember exactly when it was, and I thought he looked good. I think he could do a really fine job. That's right. Yeah, because your buddy was at that game, right?
I know that because my buddy was like, "Dang it!"
Yeah. Yeah, but it's a last time I checked, which was a couple days ago, is 60-1. You can do a lot worse than that, and I think he could have a really solid season.
Let's do breakout. Our next, let's do breakout start before the obvious national champion. We're back. I'm a homer.
Yeah. Well, yeah, the national championship. We'll hold off for that. Let's see your breakouts here.
So I've got a few. Brennan Eagles was a 5-star receiver coming into Texas. I think that now with Duvernay and Colin Johnson gone, there is a void at the top of the wide receiver group. He is really talented. He had moments last year where he was the most explosive wide receiver on the field. I really like him. I'm going to butcher this name. Joseph Nada, I think it's Nada. He was a 5-star receiver, came into Clemson's room last year. They just lost a guy by the name of T. Higgins. He's really talented. Just another guy. Trey Sanders, running back for Alabama. He got injured before the season last year and really didn't. Or did he get injured? Did I make that up?
I don't know.
Now I got to look this up. Trey Sanders.
I will say we both have Joseph Nada in our top. Let's see. You have him as your number 15 wide receiver. I've got him right around there as well. My number 13 wide receiver. So we're both very high on him for sure.
The thing that makes me feel gross about that is that they have another 5-star, Frank Ladson, who is another guy people think really highly of. One of those two will break out this year. Trey Sanders didn't get any run last year. He's going to get some run this year. They just can't keep the number one running back in his class off the field. And then my Heisman dark horse, Bryce Young. Like I said, I think he's the best quarterback. If they don't start him right away, they're eventually going to start him. He is the most talented quarterback on that team. He gives them the best chance to win a national championship. Bryce Young.
Yeah, it sounds like what you were saying about Trevor Lawrence a couple years ago for sure. And I was like, no, they need to continue to split time. This is great. it's so hard to scout team them and to coach against them when they've got two different quarterbacks. And I was wrong. So my first guy is Kyle Trask again. I think he's going to be a big breakout star. I think people will be talking about him. I like Derek King. I think he will be I think he's been really solid. I think he's going to have a really strong year. And then got to throw a running back in there, my boy CJ Verdell. I don't know if people know him nationally. He's a running back for Oregon. He is such a good running back. He's able to do an awful lot. He's got breakaway speed, and he can run it up the middle too. And I think Oregon is going to be relying on the run game as they always do, but maybe even more so with kind of unprovenness at the quarterback position. So CJ Verdell is someone that I'm definitely looking at, and definitely wouldn't put any money on him for like a Heisman because he's a running back, but I think he's gonna have a solid year.
Yeah, kill me now. I didn't rank him in my top 60. So yeah,
I was gonna bug you about that.
Yeah, CJ Verdell's a top 60 player. He's a top 30 player. Yeah. Take him before Trey Sanders.
Yeah, I have Verdell. Where do I have Verdell? 25th. I know he's in there somewhere.
25th.
Do I have him that high? Borgie. Yeah, 25th. Yeah, running back 12. So I've got him right behind Borgie. Got some Pac-12 guys in there. But yeah, I think he's going to have a hell of a year. All right, who's your national champion?
I'm going to take the team that's going to start the season ranked number two, and that's Ohio State.
Are they going to lose to Oregon and then win out the rest of the way?
I hope you don't cry too much.
Dude, I've already put an L on the sheet for the Ducks.
That'll be a good game.
I don't. We don't even know who our quarterback is.
Jamie Newman. I think that's the one game that Ohio State, if they can come out early and run the score up on a team that has high expectations, then yeah. I'm going to have no doubt in my mind that this is a true national championship contender. But I mean, your pick's smart too.
Yeah. I mean, I'm going with Clemson. I mean, I don't see much getting in their way. I mean, I know they always have one or two games that are a little bit closer than you'd like, but they'll get through the ACC pretty safely, I think. And that's all they'll need to do.
I mean, the name that
falling apart around me.
It sounds like it. The team that we haven't mentioned really much at all, even though it has our number one overall player on both of our ranks. Our number one receiver on both of our ranks. What is LSU's ceiling next year if Miles Brennan is the starter? What do you think, at least?
I don't know. I kept waiting for LSU to fumble it this year with Bert. Even though they won and they won convincingly, I still never bought in. Like, people are like, LSU greatest college football team of all time. And I just don't know. I mean, I think Ja'Marr Chase is special. I think they've got a lot of really talented players still. I don't know. What do you think?
I mean, I'm looking at their schedule right now, home against Texas. I think that's a winnable game, but I'm definitely not calling it an instant W. At Florida, I think probably is a loss next year. Home against Alabama, at Auburn, I think this team could legitimately have four losses if they start the wrong quarter. I mean, and I didn't even say at Kyle Field, Texas A&M. I mean, are we looking at an LSU team that if things break wrong, all of a sudden they go from national championship to 7-5?
I mean, that would be shocking.
It would be, but I just read their schedule. They have three or four very hard road games. I think they have five toss-up games if they don't get good quarterback. I think there's a real chance that the exciting LSU that we saw last year is dead.
The fire's roaring hot.
They no longer have Joe Brady, and they no longer have their Heisman Trophy winning quarterback. There's a chance that they go to being we run the ball with John Emery 50 times a game. I hope not. I hope they learned from their successes this year, but I don't think it's outside of the realm of possibility that that team just falls off a cliff in the joy factor.
Well, I'm looking forward to see what Vegas puts as their the betting win total, and we can have a fun discussion about that when that comes out, because I think that'll be a really interesting one. That might be a place where you look to place a bet there, Matt.
Yeah.
That's good stuff. We're gonna be back with you throughout the off season. There's not really an off season anymore. We're getting right into the time where we need to be discussing dynasty stuff. So you want to stick around with RotoViz for all of that. Be sure to be subscribing to the podcast so that you can find all of our episodes as they drop. Follow us on Twitter. Follow Matt at Wispy the Kid. Follow me at Stay Fun Laco. Thank you so much for joining us today. We look forward to being back in your ears in the next couple of weeks or whenever it might be. Matthew, any parting words?
Bye, Chris Olave.
Yes, yes. Not goodbye, but go buy him.
Go buy
him. Yes. Yes. Excellent. All right. We'll talk to y'all later.
The wait is finally over. Knotfest Roadshow is back. October 13th, Jiffy Lube Live. Featuring Slipknot with Killswitch Engage, Fever 333, and Code Orange. Tickets on sale now at LiveNation.com. Part of the Mattress Warehouse Concert Series.